I'm an addict. My name is Greg. And it's an honor to be able to participate in my own recovery. And when I stand in front of a meeting with Narcotics Anonymous, I have to realize, man, what a privilege it is to be able to carry this message. I don't get to do a whole drug log because we do have a topic. That topic is, can't help you if we can't hear you. But my story is real simple. It's so simple it's only going to take me a couple minutes to tell it. I'm not a guy to use because the big boys whipped my ass. I'm not a guy to use because the woman didn't give me no booty. I'm not a guy to use because the boss pissed me off. The dog wouldn't come when I called. I used because I was stupid. I was about 11 or 12 years old, minding my business, having the time of my life. I was outside playing. Y'all remember when we used to be able to play? The only requirement for playing was to have a good time. Somebody came along and said, "Psst, Greg, why don't you try this, man? This should make you feel better." With that one suggestion, I was stupid enough to believe two things. First of all, that I wasn't already feeling better. And two, that I could do something about it. When I got it in me, I didn't get high, I didn't get courage, I didn't get self-esteem. I just felt different. And I chased different for 35 years. If your story is any different than that, you know, I mean, maybe some things you did this and I used because of that. Because what I've learned in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is all the things that I claimed to use because of, I was using before I did any of them. See, I was using before I got any booty, so I can't blame it on that. I was using before I worked. I was living at home, pimping my parents. I was using. I was using before I got here. I was using when I came here, and you people showed me how to do, to not use one day at a time. You know, it's real easy to stand up here and say, "Well, I'm Greg, I'm an addict," because that's what I heard when I got here. Really, what I would tell you is, my name is Greg, I'm an addict. My political party, I'm an addict. The religion I practice, I'm an addict. And my sexual orientation, I'm an addict. And the reason I'm saying that is not to be funny, but in our readings, it talks about we don't care what or how much you use, who you were. In other words, fuck you. What do you want to do about your problem? And that problem is our inability to stop using once we start. The topic of this we're talking about, we can't help you if we can't hear you. And what that means is when you're sticking your hand up in a meeting, it's, mouth going a mile a minute, we don't hear nothing. That's because you're not saying anything. You're making some noise, probably sounding like Charlie Brown did to his teeth. Wah, 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 wah. But just keep coming back. Because what I have to realize is that's what it sounded like when I got here. Wah, 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 wah. I didn't understand anything y'all were talking. I didn't know nothing about no spiritual principles. I didn't know nothing about sponsor. I thought that was something like on TV when they advertised and they said we're going to have a word from our sponsor. I didn't know any of that. But what I did know is that y'all were loving enough to tell me to keep coming back. This is not a topic that we're going to use to beat up the newcomer. We can't help you if we can't hear you. And a lot of times, the reason we can't hear you is because we run you out of here. Y'all ever been in a meeting and newcomers, and the first thing we holler is, "Who are you?" This is Narcotics Anonymous. It means without name. But in the name of recovery, what we'll do is beat that person over the head. "I want your name. Who are you?" Then there's about five newcomers sitting behind that person that's going, "Psst, man, I didn't know I had to tell these people my name." They're rolling out. We see them in the parking lot with a stem, and guess what we do? "They ain't working on nothing. You need some help." We ran them out of here. That's why we can't help them. We can't hear them because they're not here. Narcotics Anonymous is a real simple program. The thing that touches my heart the most about Narcotics Anonymous is it doesn't ask us to show a behavior that isn't already in us as addicts. My sponsor told me, learn to tell your story. Now, when I heard that, and my sponsor's here, so I can't put a lot of yeast in this. But when I heard that, what I thought he was doing was trying to get me ready to speak for the World Convention. You know, learn to tell your story. Okay, yeah, I got a hip story. I can put some shit in it. I can do. But what he was talking about was the reason we can't be heard sometimes, because we're not telling our story. We're telling that 30, 60, 90 day story that somebody else shared that we picked up, put some yeast in, added to, stuck our hand up and claimed it as our own. Maybe I'm the only one that did that. You know. Because if I told you my story, I'd want to have you believing I visited every prison on the East Coast. I did a zillion years, blue heads, brown tape, you name it, I did it. And like I said, the basis of my real story is that I used because I was an idiot. And the most important part of my story that I have to remember, the very first time I used, nothing was going on. There was no drama in my life. I wasn't feeling low self-esteem. I didn't have abandonment issues. But nothing going on. Do you know I stand a better chance in Narcotics Anonymous of staying clean when drama is happening in my life, when issues are going on? Because I'm the kind of addict that will use for absolutely no reason. If I didn't learn to tell that part of my story, I couldn't get help in here. Can't help you if we can't hear you. And a lot of times, the reason we can't hear you, because we making too much noise. You know how we do. After you've been to a couple anniversaries, you know, if you're still going to meetings like you used to go to parties, you remember when we used to go to parties? Well, let's see. Kirk, he throwing a party, and the party starts at 11 o'clock. I'll probably get there at midnight. In the rooms, we call that after the readings are over. You know, because when you get a little time, it's a little too hip for us to sit through the readings. And what the newcomer does, trust me, they watch us. They watch everything we do. And so what we do is act like we've been here a while. So the readings ain't real important. Guess what the newcomer does? They want to act just like us and act like the readings are not important. The whole program of Narcotics Anonymous is in the readings. It tells us who's an addict, that's me, why are we here, because we ain't all there, how it works, just fine. What is a narcotic? Lifesaver. Can't help you if we can't hear you. And a lot of times we can't hear you because we tell you shut up. I'm so glad I didn't come from the school. And if you came from this school and it worked for you, keep on doing it. But I didn't come from the school where I was told, sit on the front row, shut up, you don't have nothing to say. We want to know how to get high, we call you. How many people can fit on the front row? What's the newcomer supposed to do when the front row is full? Are they going to run back out the door and say, oh, the front row was full, I can't get up there? We did that. See, if you're anything like me, when I came in here, I didn't make my mind up about nothing. I watched people. I was terrified. And I'm over 6 feet tall and over 240 pounds. I was terrified when I got here. There are people in this room that I watched when I got here. And when they said do this, I did that. When they said do this, I did that. But what I started doing was developing a sense of trust so that when I said something, I was saying something. I didn't get up and mimic, because it's real easy to mimic. See, I could come in here and tell you, I can't shoot dope, I can't smoke coke, I can't do reefer, I can't eat sweets. I'm allergic to all mood, mind altering substances. My problem is me. I'm recovering Catholic. I'm recovering. What did I say? Not a damn thing. As soon as I say I'm an addict, everybody in this room can relate to that part of my story. And what the readings talk about is what you want to do about your problem. See, if you're not talking about your problem, then there's no help. And my problem, first of all, is not thinking I got a problem. And then the second part of that is my inability to stop once I start using. Thank God the tradition doesn't say the only requirement for membership is to not shoot dope. It doesn't say the only requirement for membership is to not smoke crack. It says the desire to stop using. And if you don't think you're still using, identify any area in your life that you don't think you have a problem with and try stopping. Like the first step, it just means stop. Try stopping, and after you stop for a while, see if you talk like you did when you got here. Well, let's see, I ain't had a Newport in a week. I probably could smoke just one. I won't get that cancer. Sure, that'll work. I haven't called that gal in about a week or two. I think I can call her now and get some different results. I'm just talking about narcotics anonymous in recovery. We're still using. Thank God that's a tradition that says the only requirement for membership is we got to have a desire to stop using. That's why we can't hear ourselves sometimes, because we think because we put the drugs down, we don't stop using. I still have a problem on a daily basis with using, because we're talking about addiction, the disease of addiction. And I was told that addiction is a sick or pathological relationship with any mood or mind-altering substance or experience that could lead to life-threatening consequences. That covers a whole lot of stuff that I do. So if you don't understand, if you're peeping in people's windows for one reason or another and you can't stop, you're using. Somebody could shoot you. Can't help you. We can't hear you. I was given a real simple formula when I got here. And I heard it because it was real simple. Go to meetings, pray, get a sponsor, get in service work. And if you don't hear that, you won't get no help from that. Because if you're like me, go to meetings, till when? How many meetings I got to go to? If y'all use like I did, you made a meeting every day. Every day. You made a meeting. And it wasn't a meeting that I could decide, well, I can't get there today. I know what. I'll call Walston and let him know where I'm at. So, Walston, I don't have any dope today. And I like to share that. There wasn't nobody hearing that shit. I had to get up from wherever I was, get with another addict just to use. I couldn't even use by myself. And if you didn't make the meeting with another addict, it was a bad day. It wasn't a so-so day or all right day or tomorrow day. It was a bad, bad day. So I was real clear about going to meeting. You still got a problem with going to meetings? Trust me. Only go to meetings on the days when you don't want to take the chance of repeating the story that got you here in Ocean City this weekend. I was told to pray. If you're like me, you didn't come in here on the God tip. Didn't make sense to me. It was only one day a week. There wasn't no sharing, wasn't no feedback. Only one guy got to talk. I had a problem with that. I had a problem with the whole God concept. But see, I forget about that night I was in the alley and them youngins came up. When they cocked that Glock upside my head, I'm talking about the thorough youngins, the ones that really kill people, you know. And they say, motherfucker, you don't give me that money right now, I'm going to kill you. Whatever name you summoned up that night, use that when we talk about a higher power and God in here. You don't have to call it a whole lot of who you choose to call it. And Yahweh. Just understand that you didn't call my name. I don't remember calling any of y'all's names. So see, we're clear about God and going to meetings. This is such a simple program, man, that we just let it go right over our heads and look for some complicated shit in here that ain't really happening. Get a sponsor. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was pretty thorough. I knew some things. I wasn't going to have nobody telling me as a grown man what to do, how to do it, when to do it, who to do it with, and how long before I could do it with them. I wasn't having it. I figured I knew enough that I could navigate through here. But see, like I said, learning to tell your story so you can be heard. I forgot that I didn't come in the world knowing how to shoot dope, how to cook it, what beat bags look like, what the trick bags look like, what Panic Sunday was like, how many CCs were. I didn't know none of that. What I did was I was standing on the strip looking stupid. And I saw people. Some other people were. And I gravitated to the people that was. But you know what I did? I summoned up the courage to go up to a perfect stranger and come up with that old stupid ass language we come up with. Yeah, sir, brother, I'm trying to. Because I wanted what they had. And guess what? They stepped to me and they said, okay, sir, and I'll be right back. And they went on, they came right back, and they said, look, don't shoot the whole bag of dope. Don't smoke the whole sherm. Don't put the whole rock on the pipe. All them suggestions I followed to the letter. Because I felt the information that they were giving me might keep me alive for one reason. Because if I got the results I was looking for, I was coming back tomorrow. Already know about sponsorship. Praying, going to meetings. Service work. The main speaker tonight was talking about service work. You can speak by doing service work. See, we listen to hear in a whole lot of different ways. All the time, it's not what comes out your mouth. Service work is the backbone of our fellowship. If you don't know, I'm not putting up no chairs. I'm not hugging nobody. I'm not cleaning out no ashtrays. I'm just going to the meeting. As a matter of fact, I just show up. That's enough. I just show up. I bet when you went to the oil joint, you didn't just knock on the door and say, I'm here. You did some footwork. Because when you step to the door, you better have something to work with. Service work. If you don't think that you did service work and know anything about service work, you better remember back like in my story when a 13-year-old told you, look, Grandpa, run your ass down to the corner. Get me a bag of chips, an orange soda, get the fries and keep them hot. And when you get back, I might mash you off a crumb. Can you imagine that? Might and crumb. Those two words gave me enough hope so that I performed the service that was requested, because I thought that if I did it, I would reap the benefits of that service. So when I say we can't help you, if we can't hear you. See, it's not important what you hear me saying. It's important that I hear me saying it. Because if I'm still talking that same nonsense, and even though it's nonsense, when you got 24 hours, 30 days, trust me, the nonsense makes sense. It all makes sense. Now I'm going to be clear. It makes sense. Don't mean I have to like it. Going to work every day makes sense. I don't like that shit. But what I'm saying is, in our literature, in the 12 step, in the Works How and Why, what it talks about is, since the only requirement for membership is a quality that cannot be measured, it takes my right to judge away. It is absolutely none of my business to decide who's ready to get this message and who's not. It's only my responsibility to carry the message, not stick around and make sure somebody got it. And the only way we get to carry this message is if we share. I'm not talking about when I stand up here and say, well, I'm going to kick this, and it's just for me. I'm just kicking this for me. Well, if it's just for you, shut the fuck up. We share in here. If it's just for you, you already know it. Go work with it if it's working. Why you got to share it with us to make it work? I'm just talking, and I apologize for my language, but I get passionate about talking about this process of recovery. Because when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was 46 years old. The sum total of my whole net worth was one pair of shoes, the clothes on my back, and a plastic key tag that said, keep coming back. Didn't nobody say, stay away. They said, keep coming back. And when I stuck my hand up, and you know how we do that, they said, keep coming back. You know, and eventually what I found out, I'm standing here today talking the same nonsense that I didn't understand when I got here. So what I'm talking about, we can't help you if we can't hear you. Allow us to be heard. If you're taking a newcomer to a meeting, and you hear somebody that shared the same thing every meeting for the last 5 years, let them share it. Because I guarantee you, somebody hadn't heard it yet. And if you've heard it over and over and over, it's not for you. Because you're going to hear something that you haven't heard. We can't help you if we can't hear you. I'll tell you the same thing that I was told. Learn to tell your story. See, and your story doesn't have to be as good or bad as my story. Because trust me, whatever your story was, I don't think anybody was just cruising down 50 East and said, damn, let me just stop in Ocean City and see what the addicts are doing. Your story got you here. Work with it. Because y'all don't have a clue what I did. You may have done some of the same things, but you don't have a clue what I did. Y'all don't have a clue what I do when I leave out of here. I could talk all this good NA shit and run right out there in the parking lot and be looking for a blue head in a 10-pack. But if you learn to tell your story, that's what's going to keep you clean. And collectively, our stories will help keep the newcomer clean. And when I say the newcomer, I don't say that like that's a bad word. Because we can do that too. You know, them newcomers. What's that? I don't care how much time anybody in this room has. Nobody in here has been clean tomorrow yet. And I stand the risk of going up to somebody that stood up in that meeting tonight and said, I got 90 days, and asking them to be my sponsor tomorrow. If I don't follow the same information, we can't help you if we don't hear you. Learn to tell your story. You want to share about something? Share. I'm serious. Share. Because there's no school of sharing. You know, there is no way where you can go and somebody's going to teach you to share. But I tell you what, if your ass is on fire and something's going on with you, you're going to want to tell somebody. The Rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is where we had the time to listen, because we all go through something in here at some point in time. And there's an answer for it in these rooms. especially those of us that have been around for a minute or two. Because, you know, we get where we want to lay back and wait for somebody to call on us. You know, it's a little too non-hip to have to actually stick your hand up and run the risk of not being called on. Oh, no. You know, that's for them newcomers. You know, because you know what we do. No, I do that. But what I'm saying is, man, when the newcomers here share, trust me, they listen to every single word that rolls off of our lips. And the responsibility that we have in Narcotics Anonymous, whether we like it or not, is to realize that the information that we put out may save somebody's life tonight. The misinformation that we put out may cause somebody to run out and use. And we do it inadvertently. You know, God won't give you no more than you can handle. What you think free will is? I could never handle it. Matter of fact, it's the adversity and the shit that I can't handle that makes me reach out and look for a God. Can you imagine what my life would be like if I could handle every single thing that came my way? I wouldn't need my sponsor. I wouldn't need a God. I wouldn't need you. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even need to be here because I can handle it. And that sounds like a real familiar song. I can handle it. I was never able to handle it. So you're going to get something that you're not going to be able to handle. And the worst part of that is when somebody tells you it's going to be all right. Because I don't want it to be all right. Because in order for it to be all right, that means I got to be where I am right now and get to the other side. I want y'all to say it ain't going to be all right, so you might as well go use. Cool. I'm gone. But the newcomer listens to that stuff that we're talking here. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. When did that happen? I'm trying to think, what day was it that I actually said, man, fuck this shit. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to run to that Narcotics Anonymous. I'm going to attend some meetings. I'm going to get me a sponsor, and I'm going to live happy, joyous, and free. The God of my understanding got sick and tired of me being sick and tired. Because I was all right. I would get sick, then I get tired. And then I get sick, and I get tired. And one day, I looked up, and I was in a room like this going, my name's Greg, I'm an addict. That's what happened. Maybe your story was different. Maybe you had the vision to see that I'm going to get some recovery. But when the newcomer hears us sharing, because I didn't know about sick and tired, but that was some slick shit I heard once I got here. So we have to be careful not to use recovery as a tool to show people how slick we are and how many anniversaries we've been to and realize what it was like 20 minutes after I got here. None of this made sense. But every once in a while, I would hear somebody share from the heart, and I knew it was going to be okay. So I implore you, please, go to meetings, go to meetings, go to meetings. Because when an addict in recovery doesn't go to meetings, the worst possible thing that could happen to that addict in recovery happens. Nothing. Your ass don't fall off. You probably won't use that day. You didn't tell your sponsor, I ain't going to meeting. And you probably didn't let us know, because we think you're at another meeting. So why you're not going to meetings? The reason you're not going to meetings is because you got business. You know, we get business in here. We got cell phones, three-way calling, pages, beepers, modems, fax machines, limos and shit. We got business. So you're not going to meetings, you got business in your life. And while you're right in the middle of that business, somebody comes along, offer you a starring role in a drama. Usually it's a romantic tragedy. You playing the lead. You got business. You're in a drama. It's a tragedy, and you're not going to meetings. But I don't need to finish that. Please, just keep coming back. We can't help you if we can't hear you. And if we can't hear you, we can't get no help. Please, this is a fluid concept. It goes both ways. Because I might go to sleep tonight forgetting what it was like when I had 24 hours. And that addict with 24 hours just sticks their hand up and hadn't been around here long enough to know the slick shit and lie. Gonna help me to not use another day. Thank y'all for letting me share.
I'd like to thank Greg. And at this time, I'd like to introduce the second speaker. I'd like to introduce Larry.
I'm a man named Larry. And I want to thank God for another day of life, another day clean, and for the members of this fellowship that helped me stay clean a day at a time. I'm real, real nervous, you know. I've asked God to, like, give me the courage to let you know that I need your help in order to do this. First of all, I come from the greater Philadelphia region, Narcotics Anonymous. From the Clean Acres area. It's out in Chester County. I have a home group called the Wake Group, the Where Am I Today group, or as some of us talk, Where Am I At Today? That's how we do that. I need to move away from the formalities because, like, I'm real, real, I need to get to the topic. We can't help you. We can't hear you. And, like, I need to share my experience on that. That concept is very, very real in my life and in my recovery process. You know, from the time that I got here, I didn't have that much of a problem with because I had reached a point of desperation that brought me here in the first place. And, like, it wasn't like a conscious decision. I just kind of, like, found myself in Narcotics Anonymous. And at one point, man, from the point that I realized I was here, it wasn't that difficult to, like, take some of the suggestions that y'all was telling me that I need to do. You know, it was real easy to make meetings on a regular basis because that's the only place where I felt the love and the security that I was missing, and I was getting it here. So it was real easy for me to do that kind of thing in the beginning. My change came when I started to receive some of the blessings. You know, I started to receive some of those blessings, man, that desire to use a chemical had kind of, like, been lifted a day at a time. And when I started to receive some blessings, like, I remember the first blessing that I can recall of some significance was that I was in a relationship. That wasn't the blessing. All right? let me clear that up. That wasn't the blessing, right? But inside of a relationship, I needed some transportation. You know, my partner had changed. They had transferred her, and we didn't have a car at the time. And, like, we were able to make that happen within a few weeks, she was getting ready to get changed over. You know, we were able to make that happen without losing any time. And I remember the insanity. Okay, I was clean, but I'm talking about the insanity of being able to have to take her to work at night, take her to one location, 10:30 in the evening, and then come home, and then go and pick her up in the morning, bring her home, and then I would go to work. So I was in service, for real. Well, the insanity wasn't the fact that those things needed to be done. The real insanity was that, like, after I dropped her off, the insanity was me with a car at night. During the wee hour, that hour where, like, you know, we don't want to run into no other recovering addicts, you know, because if we do, then we kind of, like, act like we don't see each other, because I had no business on the street. I need to bring my ass home. I had developed this real habit of kind of, like, riding around the block consistently, over and over, and I wouldn't go in the crib. I would not go in the house until I found something to do. And I'm talking about that behavior that, like so many of us, I struggled in the beginning with tricking. As soon as I got a car. In a relationship. My problem was, in addition to that behavior, I didn't have the courage to share that I needed some help with that. I didn't have the courage, like you couldn't hear me. You couldn't help me because you didn't know that I was going through something. Because I knew how to put on a good mask. I wasn't using a drug, so I kind of knew how to come in here and look presentable and act presentable and say some things that I had picked up from y'all, knew how to say. So you really didn't know what kind of struggle I was in. I would hear people share from the floor about and sharing with courage and honesty about their struggles in that area. And I was sitting on with the back row crew talking, fucked up. And I'm saying, like, until I got my share, my level, my feel of pain, then I didn't know how to bring to your attention, man, that I needed some help. You know, and I'm going to tell you that my process was that I had to do that privately before I could do that on the floor. You know, that may not be your process, but I'm saying, like, that's what had to happen for me. I had to confide and find myself in the company of some people who, like, I entrusted with my feelings. And I had to talk about that. And, like, to my surprise, I found I was in touch with some people who had some experience of how to get out. And from that point, right, I realized it was real necessary that whatever I'm struggling with, that, like, I need to share that. I need to be able to talk with somebody about that. Now, I'm not one that's big for, like, what you should share on the floor and what you shouldn't. But I know that my process has been that, like, I have found people in my life, in my support. Or I have brought people into my support when necessary, into my support group to talk about my personal issues to help me to get the courage I need to share that on the floor. Because, see, today, if I can share that on the floor and let you know that, like, even those type of struggles, we can come through. You know what I mean? With some help, we can get through those areas. We can get, like, better with those areas, right? Then, like, now I'm sharing some hope. I'm letting you know that, like, this process really works when you open up. And it's not so much about, like, oh, my hand was always up saying something. But, like, it wasn't the type of thing you needed to know that was going to help me. And until I developed that kind of courage, you know, and I need to say, like, just like any spiritual principle, it's a day at a time thing. I have to be willing to practice that thing. It's not about how much knowledge or information I have on it. I need to be able to practice that principle on a day-to-day basis. You know, I kind of know what courage is, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to have the courage I need on any given day. You know, sometimes I just need to feel my feelings. You know, I need to feel what I'm going through. I don't know. I came along through this process, man, and like, by taking a lot of the basic suggestions that we offer in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, a home group, get active in your home group, that type of thing. You know, I've been able to get into service, you know, on a home group level, first of all. And then I've been able to kind of, like, from my home group to branch out into some other levels of service. But, like, it can become very, very difficult, you know, for me if I should choose to, like, still hide the issues that I'm faced with, the issues that I need to face. You know, it's for real, I'm the kind of addict that don't like to hide in service. I do a lot of service today, but, like, I still have to, like, stay in touch with my home group members and my support group members because they keep it real for me. I thank God for the members that I have, the Narcotics Anonymous support members that I have. They just don't take my shit today. Because if it wasn't for that, man, I would continue to regress and regress and, like, kind of, like, show you something, be visible in service, but, like, all of my issues, I will continue to, like, kind of keep them hidden from you. You know, I'm still the kind of guy who, like, if I came in here with people-pleasing issues, I need to tell you that, like, that can still be an issue for me today. any day I don't address it. You know, any day that I don't address it, man, there I go. You know, this process has afforded me, like, a conscience. You know, there are some things that I've learned from the practice of spiritual principles. You know, some of the benefits that I've gotten from, like, learning how to be honest. You know, being willing to, like, listen to someone who just got here or someone who's struggling with something that I may not be in touch with, but I need to listen to them to know that that's not me. I need to be able to hear them. I need to be able to be patient enough and tolerant enough to let them express themselves. You know, because just maybe I might know somewhere I might be able to direct them to where they can get the help at. Just maybe. But I don't have a chance, man, if I ain't got the patience to listen. You know, my thing is that being able to be heard in Narcotics Anonymous and being able to be helped in this process, you know, I need to be able to tell you exactly what's going on in my life, you know, today. You know, and on the drive up here, man, my lady and I, we had several different conversations, you know, and my issue is that I was so wrapped up in self, right, that some of the things that she wanted to share with me, like, I was like, I ain't there. And then it took me a while after arriving here to realize, when I played the tape back, I realized just how much of that conversation was all about me, to me. About how much of that conversation I was not willing to allow her to share because, like, I just wanted you to help me with me. You know. But I don't know how to say that. I don't know how to say that when I'm sitting there talking to you. You know, it's easy for me to revert to my old tactics of, like, being loud, cutting you off. You know, telling you that's not the issue, this is. You know, that sort of thing. It's real easy for me to do that. But it's real hard for me to, like, apologize. And say that, like, those are the kind of things that I need help with today. I don't know, man. I've been doing some things lately. I was involved in a service in the program department committee of the Philadelphia Convention, which they had last week, and I'm saying that, like, I probably put a whole lot of energy. I know I put a lot of energy in it, but a whole lot of time that I needed to be sharing with other people. You know, and, like, the real deal is, like, I thought that, well, when I come to this convention, I'm just going to enjoy the convention. And, like, it's real important, though, man. Anytime that that God affords me the opportunity, man, to stand in front of a group of people just like me and share this message, you know, I truly believe that that's an honor. You know, it's an honor, man, to be able to share the message of hope. You know, when they say an addict can stop using, lose a desire to use, and find a new way to live, and I find myself in the position to actually to say that and echo that, and let you know that, like, that's happening in this addict's life, it's truly a miracle. It's truly a miracle, man, because, you know, to get, like, a half an hour clean, you know, is something that I never thought possible for me. You know, just to be able to stay in this process long enough to, like, encourage somebody, not necessarily through something I say, but, like, to encourage some other addict that might walk into a room and say, damn, he's here. He got time. You know, just to be able to encourage another addict without saying anything. You know, because I'm saying that because that happened for me. I came into some rooms and I was like, it was beyond belief, the people that I saw. And, like, they were living this thing. And, like, believe me, that had a lot to do with me staying in this process. You know, just to be a part of somebody else's life, man, for real, in a positive manner, it's beyond my wildest dreams. You know, when I started to get in touch with the kind of issues that, like, still can surface on any given day for me, you know, the kind of issues that I'm talking about is, like, just closed-mindedness. I'm talking about having information available and, like, taking for granted that, like, I can take that information later on. I can deal with that some other time. You know, that's almost like saying that, like, I'm taking my clean time for granted. You know, I understand today, man, that a day clean is still a miracle. You know, and my only purpose for, like, kind of, like, keep coming back here is to get another day. You know, I hope that my higher power will see fit to, like, use me as an instrument to, like, to help somebody else along. But, like, if I kind of think that I can do that without him, then I really need to keep coming back, man, because I'm getting sicker. You know, sometimes, man, just being, like, a little uneasy, being, like, real, real nervous is, like, it's a positive thing for me in a way, because it's probably God's way of letting me know that, like, I'm not in charge at all. You know, if I wasn't nervous, then I might come in here thinking that, like, I know exactly what to say to, like, to carry this message. And the real deal is, like, I have to get out of the way in order for God to use me, you know, to carry this message. I have to get out of the way. And I have to be willing to do that. You know, just the opportunity to meet some real quality people in the last several months, you know, has helped me tremendously. You know, I need to tell you that I've been listening to a couple of members in Narcotics Anonymous who I have the privilege to sponsor them. And, like, I don't know, I feel as though I haven't been doing a real good job of that because I've been so busy, you know, and, like, it's really working on me, man, and I'm looking forward to doing the real service, because I believe the highest level of service in Narcotics Anonymous is one addict helping another. It's not necessarily standing here. You know, and I really believe in that. That's where my strength lies. You know, my strength doesn't lie at the podium. My strength lies in, like, me being able to reach another addict, being on the other end, answering the damn phone when a newcomer calls. I ain't talking about coming in the meeting and filling out all these phone lists. I'm talking about being on the other end when it rings. Those are the kind of things that I do to get me another day and help to inspire another addict, man, to get some change in his life. You know, I don't know, man. I'm just real, real grateful just to have an opportunity, man, to experience this wonderful celebration, man. This is a hell of a convention here. It really is. And the main speaker said something. She focused on a piece of our literature, which was like, what is the program? And I'm not even sure what that was now. But when I heard her say some things that was like, it was real basic stuff. You know, we're talking about like making 90 and 90. You know what I mean? I can share an experience with a newcomer about like making a 90 and 90. And like, I'm not talking about some kind of lip service and telling you about somebody else's experience. I can tell you what a joy it is to like to look forward to going through and look forward to completing the commitment that I made to myself to finish the 99. You know, I can even talk about some of the rewards. You know, my phone list grew, my support group, you know, grew. You know, a lot of positive things happened as a result of just taking some of the suggestions. Now, you ain't gonna take them all, but just taking some of the suggestions. And it's just like the good dope, because, like, if we get some results that we're pleased with, we're going to do some more. I know it always worked for me. If I liked it, I'm doing some more, you know. In this process here, man, I started liking the results, you know, of the suggestions that y'all was giving me. it was real important for me to see also that the people who was giving me the suggestions was practicing it. That was real important. I know y'all say don't take no inventory, but I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it, you know. And I understand through that, I understand that the newer member that comes in here today, that he's watching. You know, he didn't just come here and it's like going to close his eyes and listen to what I'm saying. I know that if I start circling the block too many goddamn times, I know he sees me. And he's going to come in here and tell y'all. But the harmful thing is, right, I might have an experience that might help that newcomer. He ain't going to be willing to listen because of the fraud that I projected. You know, they talk about a principle in here called integrity. And it kind of like means that I need to do the right thing whether you're looking or not. Even when you ain't watching me, I got to do it. You know. And if I'm here to, like, help this purpose along, you know, and to help just to be a part of carrying a message that we all can, like, change. We all can, like, improve the quality of our life. Then I need to incorporate some stuff in my life, man. It's going to make me a better person. You know, and, you know, the only thing that's for certain, man, is that I'm going to fall short. But just for today, man, I'm not making excuses for falling short. You know, that was something that I've done. You know, I've done that before. You know, I've gotten into a rut where as though, hey, look, man, just for the day, I ain't there. That kind of thing. That kind of talk. The real deal is, man, if I'm not there, then I need to look on the inside. I need to call my sponsor or some support people because, like, I understand the importance of sponsorship, but I'm not so caught that if he ain't home, then I'm going to take my stuff and put it back down inside. There's always somebody that you can reach in Narcotics Anonymous and talk about that. And what I also found that I don't have to, like, evaluate and try to, like, find out whether you're the answer or not, whether you got a solution or not, before I start sharing with you. Because many a solution has come, like, in a rapper that I didn't recognize. You know, I don't know, I was sharing with somebody the other day, man, that I'd taken a few days off of work. And prior to taking those days off, I had hit, like, the same pothole, like, 5 out of 6 days. Same junk. And the thing about it, right, you know, not that the pothole, you know, got nothing to do with recovery. That doesn't. But the real deal is there's a part of me that I needed to share. There's a part of me that doesn't want to tell you that, like, I can make the same mistake that I just made. There's a part of me that says that I shouldn't say that because that's what insanity is, right? Same mistake over and over. I shouldn't even share that. The real deal is I need to tell you that there's a part of me that really, really, really wants you to think that I'm sharp and I'm smart and that I wouldn't do that shit. But the real deal is day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, I didn't hit the hole because I went and got some gas. You know, I run a route, so I kind of like went the other way and got some gas. And day six, I hit it like it was brand new. Like it's a brand new hole. And I mean, I just need to share that. Like, the thing that I really want to talk about is, like, when I come back to the office and kind of let somebody know, hey, look, on such and such street, right on the corner, is a pothole. Guess what? Just because I keep hitting the motherfucker don't mean you do have to. You can still get some help. I found out that I can still get help with people just sharing their experience with me. They don't have to be, like, so-called winners. They don't have to be somebody who's accomplished and, like, already have gotten by this issue where, like, they don't make this mistake anymore. All they need to do is share that experience with me, and if I'm open-minded, I might be able to avoid that thing. So I was able to share that with some other people. You know, whether they hit or not, I'm powerless. But I don't know, man. It just was something that... There's a part of me, man, that, like, it felt like it was real important to let people know not just that you make mistakes. We all know that shit without saying. But I need to let you know the kind of mistakes that I make and what goes through here when I make them. You know, I need to let you know, man, that I would rather you thought that I was mistake-free. I would rather you thought that. But, like, being realistic, man, I need to share what's going to help me. I need to kind of get off of some stuff that's going to help me to become a better person. You know, that something that's going to allow me to, like, to go inside and develop a little bit more honesty, a little bit more willingness to be honest and to share who I am. Who I am, I'm a repeated, you know, I'm a repeat offender. I'm a guy who kind of like continuously can like, listen, my memory is not real good at all, at all. So like the concept of keep coming back, it's like a real good, I ain't got no problem with that. Because see, I can hear something that like is really valuable for me. Like what I was trying to recall from like a few minutes ago. Right? So like, but I do know that if I continue to come back, I'll hear that. I know that. See, I ain't that good with my memory, so that like I can hear some stuff, and like I'm not the kind of guy who can come up here and tell you a whole lot of stuff that somebody else said, because I can't remember that shit. Thank God. But the real deal is, man, when I keep coming, it's because I want to improve the quality of my life. I want to continue to get better. You know, y'all told me that, like, even the hopeless addict, right, he's got a shot in here as long as he keep coming. You know, I don't know, man. I just want to, like, thank, like, some real key people in my life, man, for, like, standing beside me. Love you, Stace. You know, even though I can, you know, sometimes, man, it's been rough. Like I said, it has been a rough time just kind of to deal with. Have you ever been on a committee where so you kind of like need 12 to 15 people to be in one accord before you make a move? And like you might be kind of accountable in that committee, you know, then you know that like stress is like possible. It's possible to be stressed out. And like what I found was impossible, because I always used to think that I could do this, right? What I found was impossible for me was to separate that from my personal life. And like I probably added a whole lot more stress to somebody else's life than necessary, you know. And I thank God for like being able to like see that for what it is, and like not to pretend that like it was somebody else's fault or pretend like I didn't bring it, you know. It's real important for me to like get honest about that, man, and say that you know, sometimes, man, I just need to step back. You know, it's a wonderful commitment, and I'm glad that it's over. But, like, now they're starting to ask about, like, what are you going to do that next year? I'm like, man, probably not. Probably not, because it's not about prestige or anything like that. It's about my personal recovery right now. And, like, I probably need to get in more contact with my own sponsor and start paying attention to the people who I said yes to and made a commitment to. I need to, like, really pay attention to that. Because we're talking about life and death in here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, we're not talking about, yes, I will help you, I will guide you, and then forget you. That's not what happened for me. That's not how I got it. I had some real willing people, man, to step forward, man, and help me in this process. And as a matter of fact, when I kind of like felt like I didn't want to be bothered, they still came. And they said some things, man, to like let me know that I was not going to be in this thing by myself. I was not going to stay around here and not work. I thank God for that, man. You know, I thank God for that, because it's helped me to understand the importance of that highest level of service, help another addict. Listen, man, if you are new in this process, man, please stay. Because they say the most important person at any meeting at all, is a new member. You know, it's real important for that member to, like, see that some things are working and to see that some experienced members are getting through with issues, with problems, you know, with tragedies and drama in their life, they're still kind of like getting through a day at a time. You know, we don't turn around, we don't turn back because we've had some problems in our recovery. At least in my experience, I haven't done that yet. You know, but I do know that if I don't continue to do the things that I've done in the beginning, the things that like really got me in touch with this program, if I don't continue to do them, then like I'm wide open for failure. You know, I'm not relapse proof. And like the proof of that is in my area, it started to be like a route, like a trend that like a lot of people with time. A lot of time, but you not, might not see them at a lot of meetings. But a lot of those people were starting to, like, go back and do the things they did before they came to Narcotics Anonymous. And I look at that as an opportunity for me to, like, witness that that thing is real. If I don't do the things that I did in the beginning, then they go out. You know, I just, like, try to look at some of the things my higher power puts in front of me as an opportunity to grow. It's not necessarily like an opportunity to go off the hook, you know. If he puts something in front of me in the way of like, you know, just like I like it, you know, the pretty girl, the follow me around the convention last week, my lady is there, somebody follow me around, right? And the real deal is the part of me saying, I could pull this off. Right? But like I look at it as an opportunity to say no when I need to say no. It's an opportunity for me to walk in another direction when that's where I need to go. Now I ain't saying that's automatic. It takes a lot of work, man. And like for real, if I hadn't shared that with somebody, then me and the committee up here would have came to a group conscience that like we can get away with that shit. Yeah, because see, ain't nobody else coming to the meeting except one-sided thinking. Yeah, we would have conscious that one. But listen, man, I'm just so grateful, man, to be in this process, man, and get another day, man. You know, I don't take that for granted, man, because like it's still a miracle when an addict that used like I use, you know, can get another day clean. And like move away, another step away from that desire, you know, to self-destruct. You know, it still is about using for me today. You know, the chemical may not be in the forefront, but I know it's in the background. You know, if I don't do some things, man, and continue to do the things that y'all suggested to me, that'll keep me in this process and keep me like, keep me sharing honestly, you know, to keep me like in touch with some spiritual principles, then like I'm doing the repeat, man. I'm an addict, and I'm glad. Thank you for having me.